Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another fine episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
Zach, how are you enjoying this Florida 50, 60 degree weather we're having all week, bud?
I'll tell you what, I love it. I got a long sleeve on, got a cardigan on. I had a beanie on, which is why my hair is a mess if you were watching on video right now. But you know, it's been great. I love the cool weather. I could use some more.
I know, man. I went for a long walk today.
So did we.
Over at this park nearby. Just beautiful. There wasn't like many clouds in the sky. It was like low 60s. Just fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're not from South Florida, you're like, oh, these guys think it's not low 60s. It's
cold. That's cold.
For us, that's winter. For us, that is winter. So
yeah. For Florida, absolutely. South Florida specifically.
Yeah. You mentioned video. We are actually in the process of reposting for the first time our Peaky Blinders coverage on YouTube. You have seen the pilot that is on there. We've seen some people filter in and leave some fresh reviews on Apple Podcasts about how much they're enjoying the Peaky coverage. And that's what's going on there. The first episode, don't get your hopes up. The first episode is possibly the only one that will have video because Peaky Blinders in many ways was our first venture out into starting Story Archives, into recording and in getting better as podcasters and covering TV shows. So one of the things you'll notice is kind of how our form evolves over time as we go through six seasons of Peaky Blinders. But really, we're gearing up. We thought it was a good time to repost these episodes. We think a lot of people are going to be discovering that show for the first time as Cillian Murphy probably walks into an Oscar win. Hopefully, I'm rooting for him. I think we have like a vested interest in Cillian Murphy, considering we covered his most famous work ever, probably, for about a year and a half, right?
I feel like it took about a year and a half because we had to wait for that final season too.
True. So yeah, check that out. If you haven't watched the show, watch it. And as always, leave us a review. Y'all, if you've been tuning in and you enjoy Story Archives, be sure to leave a review. It's the way we fight amongst the muck and the mire of all the podcasts that are out there so that listeners like you who have yet to discover us can. And something else I wanted to add. Oh, yeah. If you have any ideas, you know, we're a young indie podcast production company. Spotify's ending their advertising ambassadorship here. So all of our ad revenue, for the most part, is going to end on February 13th or 14th, one of those two. Hell of a gift for Valentine's Day from Spotify. So if you out there have any ideas of good ways to spur on advertisers for young lads, young bucks in this industry, such as ourselves, we're all ears. You can email us at contact@soapbox.house. And I think that's it, Zach. Anything on your side?
No, I mean, if you feel out of the kindness of your heart that you want to support the show, and we do have a Patreon account, there is a link in the description below, but we don't like to push it that much, so.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's if you want, if you like us making episodes, it goes a long way
when
you support us. So the more we are supported, the more we can make content. If we don't make any more content in terms of like our volume sometimes can be dictated, Zach, if you were making a full-time living off of Story Archives, we'd be making a lot more episodes on Story Archives.
It'd be like one a day or something at least.
Yeah, it'd be channels springing up out of everywhere. So yeah, there's all that. So anybody, we're all ears. We're learning and, you know, we're not too proud to accept counsel when it comes to that kind of stuff from those out there who might know better than us. So, hey, in other news, maybe we should do like a little segment before show starts. What have you been watching besides Masters of the Air that's caught your attention lately?
Because
I've got one.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I've actually just started rewatching the Oppenheimer movie last night with my wife. So we're going to finish that tonight as we record. I'm currently in Game of Thrones. Like that's what I'm heads down in at the moment. So I'm working on getting through it. I'm like almost in the middle of season four. So I've got a ways to go, but I mean, I feel like I made good headway. How about you?
Cool. I had tried watching the Scorsese movie, The Flowers of the Killer Moon. I couldn't get through it in one sitting. I will have to revisit it wherever I left off, but I gotta say, not my favorite in terms of like it.
I was gonna wasn't,
Yeah. I don't want to say too much. Most people haven't probably watched it yet. But there's just lots of reasons, I guess. You know, I think movies and TV shows, the genres have to hit you at the right time. I have been watching Griselda on Netflix, which is based on Griselda Blanco, the famous cartel leader who used to run Miami back in the 1980s or 1970s.
Interesting.
That has actually been really good. I'm like on episode 6. I started that on Saturday or Friday and stars Sofia Vergara. They were really generous to Griselda Blanco. I mean, I don't know what she looked like when she was younger, but I mean, that's a hell of a way to glamorize an ex-drug lord is by making Sofia Vergara the actress portrayer. So, you know, anyways, pretty good show. It does have its cheesy moments, but overall, good. But like all cartel things, you know, all those gangs, the ego gets to their head, you know, everything tends to fall apart towards the end. But
well, you're the second person, by the way, for the Killers of the Flower Moon, I believe, that has so far told me that it's just kind of meh. I've been meaning to watch it, but it's a 3.5 hour watch.
DiCaprio is awesome, so, by the way. It's just, it's hard to get through. I gotta just sit down, focused, maybe get a couple of drinks in my system and give it another go. You know, I maybe drink a little whiskey and just kind of sit there with some good, maybe like in a food coma. I don't know. Anyways, there's lots of good things to watch on TV. It's hard to, you know. Anyways, Masters of the Air, episode 2. Let's get into it.
Part 2.
There's no titles for these episodes, so it's just going to be part 2, part 3, part 4 as we continue on through the season. And part 2 kind of continues on exactly where we left off on part 1. Buck or Gale Cleven has his first mission, and he's kind of slightly traumatized. I think it's his first combat action period, right? You know, we talked about this last episode where that Buck and Bucky, which we're not going to do. It's going to be Bucky.
Bucky and Cleven.
It's going to be Bucky, played by Callum Turner, which is the more charismatic of the two. And then you have Gale, aka Buck, who is the more serious. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because Buck is more serious than Bucky, right?
Just a little.
And, yeah, well, he had his first combat action in episode 1, and we're kind of like on the back end of that, heading into the next mission, which, Zach, make sure to pull up our email. So we've got a really interesting email about episode 2, which we'll talk about at the end of the episode. Actually, a listener wrote in saying that episode 2 was really interesting to them and kind of hit very, like almost literally at home, because their hometown is Trondheim, which is where they bomb in this episode. Which is a crazy thing to hear someone listening to the pod who has such a close experience of remembering the history of that growing up in that area, which we'll read that email once we kind of maybe get closer to that part in the episode. But we get a lot of this kind of hangover feel from the last episode. Bucky's slightly starting to feel bad for himself, and I think it's more because he's been put sort of in a pencil pusher administrative role on the Air Force Base, and in part kind of, it seems like he blames himself in a way for not being up there and maybe not being able to prevent the loss of lives that they had in the first mission. Because you can see in the second mission that we see in this episode, he makes the call to drop back and to match the speed of Barry Keoghan's character, Kurt Biddick, who's lost pretty much like all of his engines mid-mission. And Bucky makes the call to fall back and to kind of make sure that Biddick makes his way safely to an emergency landing, which Harry Crosby's character, which is the narrator of the show, is instrumental in making sure happens safely. But we do get that moment in the beginning where Bucky's starting to feel bad for himself. It feels like he's always drunk on the show, and he gets to meet his... that's a little bit further on. But what'd you think of like kind of like the whole start up on the episode and the way the show's being paced right now? How does it make you feel? What has been your first impression, Zach?
I think the pace of the show is fine. I don't feel like it really needs to move quicker or slower in any way. I'm okay with it. I do feel like we've kind of maybe seen the writing on the wall for Bucky trying to like get a little more hands-on with, I guess, his role. Like we see that he doesn't really like to lead from the position that he's led in. And I mean, it seems like it's for the better, right? Like I feel like if it were anybody else, like I would have been left behind. Biddick would have been left behind. Probably would have went down. So I'm happy to see that he's in the role that he likes at least. But I you know, the comment about him always being drunk. I mean, can you blame him really? Middle of World War II.
I haven't read the book by Donald Miller that this show is based on, but I will say it's hard to take Bucky's character seriously, and maybe that's by design. Maybe it's because there hasn't been something that's hit close enough home to him that's made his character have this tone change, but he still very much has that class clown, makes everything about himself type of feel to his character, which doesn't really tend to resonate with best leader on base. It does, that those two things don't seem to go together. And if we're going to do it, it's a military TV show, so let's compare it to something made by the same guys who are making this show, Saving Private Ryan. And you remember Tom Hanks' character and the sort of more sober-minded leadership that his character has in that. And it's a tone change. There's a heaviness. There's not this laughing from the wing of a plane. I can't, feeling bad for himself, I can't feel anything, while there's probably been 50 people who have died in the previous episode. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to take him seriously with this whole I feel bad because I'm in an administrative role and everything, you know. It's constantly, it's almost, for me, too much about the friendship between him and Buck, where he says, I'm betting on us, Buck. Like, I get that aspect, but where's that sense? You don't really see it until that final scene where Gale goes, the best thing to do is lead our boys through this, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see more of that. I want to see when this character's coming face to face with death, there should be this kind of tone change, right? And yeah. It took until, I think, for the first time, the end of this episode, to really see that out of Bucky's character. Because prior to that, it did feel like a lot of look at me, look at me, look at me. And I don't know if you had that same impression, but it did feel very much like, you know, concerned more about how cool the character looks rather than what would actually be going through the minds of these guys who did this.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's hard to really know without being there, right? I suppose maybe some of that could just be his way of dealing with the stress of the situation, right? I could get. Yeah. I mean, again, the guy's drunk and like literally probably over half the episode, so. That's hard to comment on, but yeah, no, I do think I agree with you. There is this element of just him trying to play everything off as, you know, hey, he's the cool guy, and he's good, you know, there's no problems really.
Yeah,
it'll get annoying if that continues into like the next episode or two, for sure. Like, it's already kind of starting to get there. Yeah. So hopefully something sobers him up, but I hope that's not like at the expense of Clevin.
I don't want to lose what makes the character the character, but if someone gets their face blown off, like, and this is a true story, but if something like tragic happens and the tone of this character doesn't change after that,
yeah,
then that's just, to me, unrealistic, because these guys went through horrors in World War II. But then again, it's early on, it's part two. He hasn't been a part of a mission yet, I don't think, other than his observation mission. That they've lost lives of, that they've literally lost the life of somebody. But
yeah,
I do think you started to see that tone change at the end. But like you said, these guys are on base. A lot of what this show is doing right now, at least it feels like to me, is it's showing you, it's very siloed. It's very focused on what's going on within this base, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have a sense of the scale of where we are in the war, of how much progress they're making, if they're having success against the Germans. We are not getting any of that sense. No. Which kind of reminds me of this video game, Hell Let Loose, where no character indicator on top of the enemy soldier. So like, you shoot like an enemy soldier, you have no idea if they're dead unless you walk over to them to like see, and they could just be playing dead and then just kind of take you out. So you kind of get this sense where you have, and this is probably by design, but the audience has no idea where we are in the scope of the war. Or like in this time frame, you know, what is the core objective? Like, what are we going towards? It feels very much episodic. We're going to have that presentation at the start of every episode of, boys, this is our target today, and we're going to start over every episode. But I kind of do hope they zoom out a little bit and show us at this point in the war, this was occurring or that was going on. But maybe not. Maybe this will just be like a diary entry.
I mean, it would be nice to have like some sort of like wayfinding here and you know where we're at. I mean, the show isn't really telling us, right? Like, of course, I'm sure you could go do your research and be like, what was happening in this place at that time? And you could figure it out, but it's not obvious through the show itself. So,
I
don't know. I kind of hope, though, to be completely honest, that this doesn't stay in this mode of every episode. It's just like, all right.
The same formula.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, all right, we're going on a mission. All right, we go on a mission. A few people die. We come back. Great. Like, that's going to be really boring. So I really, I don't know if it's people are going to get like stuck out in the fields or something like that, but I don't want it to be that repetitive. I will be really unhappy with the show, I think, if it stays in that mode.
I mean, look, there's ways, there's things that they introduced in this episode that you could have seen as standalone movies, right? They dropped like just a throwaway line where they said what do they call it? The detector, like where they could see, there was like this like little mechanism that they could see exactly where they were dropping the bombs. Right. And they said that this gadget was the second best kept secret on the US side, which is why they were so effective on their precision bombing. Right. They said that was the second most, critical secret that the best kept secret they held aside from the atomic bomb in the war. Like, that's a throwaway line, and you could have had like a whole slew, like a whole background of what was going on there, and like a build up towards the bombing in a way that didn't feel like this was an anticipated thing. You know, cut away, show us why we got to bomb these submarines, like what, like the kind of mayhem that these U-boats were causing on goods that were coming over across the Atlantic, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of set us up, raise the stakes a bit. Maybe they should introduce some German characters in that base, or something like that. You know, things like that that could help us feel a little bit more connected with what's going on and the stakes of this mission, and maybe failed attempts before, or what success in this mission would mean for the Allied troops. Things like that. I think the audience needs a little bit of that. Or maybe they're just saying, hell, I mean, this is literally a diary entry. This is the story of this platoon, the 100th, and that's your guys' problem. You guys got to go look that up for yourself, which we can kind of piece those things by ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like compelling storytelling, you know, it helps to know where we are. Yeah, I mean,
you
can
lose an audience if you don't try to give some level of guidance. If it's all like, all right, you've got to go do the research on your own, like, You're going to have trouble trying to get a lot of people to watch a show, and I think thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, how about like when Kurt Biddick's character, Barry Keoghan, played by Barry Keoghan, when he crashes in Scotland. Mm-hmm. You could have done a scene there when they're getting off and the people coming out of the house, and like there's a moment of kind of scared, you know, nervousness of like, where the hell did we land?
Yep.
And instead we just get the phone call and they're drunk and they're like, invest in the other characters too, not just Gale and Bucky. That's kind of my, I would like to see a little bit more into those characters. So far, we're getting mainly Bucky, Gale, and Crosby. Those are the three kind of focus right now.
And there was no real flashbacks in this from what I recall. Like nothing that was like, you know, helping with character building or anything like that. And I mean, if we're going to stay focused on, you know, Bucky and Gale, like I really need a little more backstory. Like, I know I said in the first episode that I don't want to see a ton of like this back and forth and time jumping, but you know, like you can do it tastefully, right? Like there needs to be like some understanding of what their background is, why they're here, maybe why Bucky is the way Bucky is. I don't know, but I think that might help tie me into the character a little more.
Yeah, take us back to basic training where we can see how are these guys such best friends? Like, we don't know the stakes of their friendship even. You know, in terms of like, how connected are these guys? Like, what is the bromance here between these two characters? You know, where did that first start? Yeah. Was there a moment? Like, just give us something that makes us as invested in their friendship as we are. Because right now, doesn't the friendship feel a little one-sided? It's more Bucky towards Gale than Gale towards Bucky.
Yeah, but I mean, Gale's just so damn cool. Like.
Yeah, he does play everything off cool, but he's also not as talkative. Just feels like Bucky's more...
Bucky seems to be much more of an extrovert, I think. I don't know that I would say Gale's an introvert or anything like that, but I mean, he is a bit more reserved at the very least.
it just seems like he has a more serious tone, like he's at war and he's not trying to play games. Like he's not going out to drink after the mission. He's not making like a ruckus, right?
Yeah.
He'll get together with the guys and do his thing, but it seems like he's focused on the mission at hand. And Bucky's playing it more of, it's me and you out here, bud, you know, Maverick and Iceman out here just flying the shit, shooting the shit, you know. Yeah. That kind of thing. It does have a Top Gun vibe to it at times when they're like, when it's so isolated on them two standing out from the rest of the platoon. Also, like, it would help. I gave the background story of that these guys are already majors, but I think that would have been a cool thing to add. But then again, it's just part two. We could get that still.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned the part of this kind of feeling like Top Gun in some ways. And I mean, I feel like it's kind of hard to not, especially with the fact that the Top Gun movie released so recently. But yeah, I mean, without trying to give anything away, when I think back to like Band of Brothers and, for example, a plane goes down, right? Like that, like there were tons of planes there too. I'm just going to say that. Mm-hmm. A plane will go down at some point. It felt like a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. I mean, it felt close to you. Like you were there, like you saw the impact of it a lot more. I feel like in this episode, we saw a plane go down, but it was just like, meh, okay. It just fell over there. Like there wasn't really anything or much to humanize like the plane going down. If that even makes
you're
sense.
Right. Yeah. A literal plane crash in this episode. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a problem. You forgot about a plane crashing in a movie about war.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a show about war.
Lemon's character was like playing with kids, like lighting a tarmac on fire, and a whole plane crashes in the background. And we don't get any explanation. And that shit didn't crash like emergency landing, like everybody lived. That shit crashed like everybody died.
Yeah. I mean, the thing exploded. There's nobody there.
Yeah. By the way, that Top Gun comment I made, unfortunately, was not a compliment. That was more of a, because you remember Top Gun, the original. That's in flight school. Like, that's flight school. That is not, they're not fighting real military missions. Yeah. Like, they're in flight school. It feels like Bucky hasn't left flight school with his mindset yet.
Well, let's be real. Right? I don't think a lot of these people have flown all that much.
I agree. But he did do an observation mission, which he came back from battered and bloody and saw lots of people die. So, you know, I think all it takes is, you know, one damn plane going down and flying past those flak cannons before you kind of just, you know.
Yeah. But then again, every time you're probably not coming back.
Like, you have to get it too, in a sense. Like, these guys are living like every day is their last day. So there's no point of walking around like in fear either. Right. So you respect that about his character. And that's kind of the direction. Like, he cheats on his girlfriend back home with the barmaid in episode one. And you can get that. Right. I mean, this guy's living like it's his last, like you never know who he's going to find again. So you kind of get that. And I don't think they established that was like his fiance or anything back home. So just kind of one of those things where like, you know,
some love interest or something like that. Yeah. Nothing too serious.
All right. So that was the beginning. We have that party where Bucky and Kurt stay up, and Bucky eventually gets to the point where when they are, he does have a meeting with the new CEO, because the previous CEO popped an ulcer on the previous flight and is out of commission. And now we have the new CEO, who seems like much more one of the men, you know, one of the guys in the platoon, demotes Bucky almost immediately, which it seems that's what Bucky wanted, right? He was tired of being an air exec and wanted to be back in the plane.
Maybe that's kind of why he was acting the way he was acting, right? Trying to not, you know, I guess get a role that is that senior to everybody else. Like, I could see that maybe being the case, but even when he did get demoted, like, he didn't change all that much. So.
No, but they also, at the end of this episode, they're coming off of a successful mission. Nobody died. They successfully bombed the German sub. So that's kind of my favorite part of the episode, really, was a couple of things. I did like the aspect of Crosby navigating them and kind of like overcoming that and creating the plan to go through Scotland to give Kurt's character a chance to land the plane. But I liked the celebratory aspect after the mission, where these guys all came back, all the planes came back home. And that's a massive win for the 100th, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that...
Were you surprised at the British... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, finish what you're saying, because I might be talking about what you're about to bring up. I don't know.
No, you say it. You say it.
I was going to add or say that I think we might end up seeing like a change in tactics at some point soon here, because they were talking to, I guess, the British in this uh-huh. episode. And they're like, oh, you guys are brave. You guys are flying missions in broad daylight when everybody can see you. You know, like uh-huh. in retrospect, it kind of sounds stupid to be doing that, but. I don't know. Maybe you can see your target more effectively. There was a line in the episode where, you know, they were talking about, you know, the night raids could be very effective depending on which side of the plane you're on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we'll pivot here and we'll start to see a lot more night raids going on. And I don't know. That might just be a bit different. It'll spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, that British officer character mentioned that. They don't care to be precise because as long as the bombs land in Germany, they don't care where it lands. That's pretty yeah. much essentially what he said. And by the way, Gale's character agreed with him that the night missions are the smarter plan. Mm-hmm. He just didn't like his delivery, right? It's like you yeah. can say the right thing, but if you're, because the Brit was completely douchey in the way that he was acting towards the Americans. He was yeah, acting he was. Very, yeah. you know, like he was having revolutionary war flashbacks, you know, but were you surprised at the infighting between the Brits and the Americans? I mean, I'm assuming that mm-hmm. happened on base, but you know,
I don't know that I'm. I mean, maybe I'm conditioned and I'm just used to seeing that, you know, sort of back and forth in a lot of shows. Yeah. Not even just military shows, but I mean, one side always thinks that they're better than the other. I mean, that's at least what I recall as I think back on shows like this. So no, yeah, I don't think I was surprised.
It's kind of one of those things where these guys talk crap to each other, but if it came down to war, they would help each other.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're in the heat of the battle,
yeah.
that dude would give his life for the other, you know, that sort of thing. Or, you know, mm-hmm. they bust each other's balls on base because it's a bunch of dudes. They're just in between missions. We're going to talk crap. That's what we do. But, yeah, I was kind of interested to see the fight. Apparently, Kurt's like a hell of a boxer. He smacks Bucky in this episode across the face and and put on the moves on the Brit there, who didn't seem like the toughest of guys either, to be honest.
No.
Kind of looked like the previous CEO who was vomiting blood in episode one.
About as strong.
Yeah, because that guy looked sickly. The yeah. one in the commanding officer in episode one, which he literally was. I'm assuming the altitude was what popped his ulcer, pretty much.
I would imagine. I mean, it could have been a bumpy ride as well. Who knows?
I was shocked at the. I mean, it obviously made sense after, but the cold, the freezing temperatures that these guys are at in the plane, and the gunner who touched the gun with his bare hands.
Yeah.
In the previous episode, did you catch that? Where he pretty much like burned his hands or something like that yeah. from the cold.
Frostbite. Yeah, I mean, insane. I would imagine it's. I mean, yeah, you're flying at whatever altitude there was. I have no idea. Any place that's already mm-hmm. cold, flying like I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a couple hundred miles an hour or something? I would imagine.
Yeah.
Not sure what speed they're flying at, but it's. Dude, I mean, you talk about wind chill. Mm-hmm. That'll be insane.
So Crosby steps up in a major way because he has to step in for Bubbles, who's the chief navigator on one of the forts. Mm. And Crosby gets like this kind of last minute notice on the day of the mission that they're going to go bomb the subs. And in between throwing up in his helmet, which, dude, I have like this without fail, every time I'm eating, okay, no matter what, and I'm watching a TV show. Someone will throw up. Like someone will throw up on screen. It is without fail. And Crosby was throwing up everywhere in that plane. And somehow, you know, kept it together. I thought he was going to fail, you know, on this mission. And this was going to be like one more failure until he turns it around. But no, he was very much one of the heroes on this mission, aside from Bucky, who made the call to... slow the you know throttle down and stay at Kurt's pace.
Yeah, he did a good job, man. I think he had one of the the funniest parts. I'm pretty sure it was this episode where he ends up throwing his helmet back on. He's like, oh, I'm gonna hit.
Yes.
Oh,
man. Oh, I thought, man, that was so great.
That was hilarious.
I forgot that he threw up in his own helmet, which I was thinking the whole time. I was like, when he put the helmet on, I was like, he put the vomit, like the vomit's going to hit his head, which, by the way, if you're in that situation, whatever, like, I'm going to put on the vomit helmet too. But, dude, don't you think the way that they point those turrets when they're aiming out of the plane, it always looks like they're aiming directly at the plane side by side to them when the fighter, like when the German planes are zooming by? Doesn't it look like the turret's aiming directly at their own fort?
A little bit. I mean, you can clearly see it there, but I guess it's just low enough. Just low enough.
I was concerned Crosby was going to be the equivalent of the translator guy from Saving Private Ryan. And he's already exceeded that guy in terms of likability as a character. Okay. You know who I'm talking about?
I was waiting for you to ask me a question about Saving Private Ryan because you're probably going to hate me. I've never seen the full movie.
Well, that wraps up this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
I've seen bits and pieces on TV.
No, there's a character in Saving Private Ryan who's a translator. He's constantly wanting to show mercy to the Germans who that they capture, and it leads to one of the main characters getting killed because of his. Like, he couldn't comprehend that he was in wartime.
You know? No, I get that.
And it led to a catastrophe, pretty much. But I was worried that Crosby was possibly going to be that character, and he is not. He is absolutely a hero character in a major way.
Good.
And by the way, the translator was not a bad person. It wasn't a bad character either. It was just...
Yeah.
It bad cost decisions. The life of a loved character as well. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that he's surpassed expectations.
You got to watch that. You have to watch that movie.
Then. I'll watch it. I've seen bits and pieces. I feel like I've seen the majority of it, but it's been so long since I've seen it. I really don't remember much.
That's the most shocking thing you've ever told me in our years.
I know, man. Like it's been on my list. Like I'm always intending to go back and actually watch the full thing. Like it's literally on my list right now of like the movies that I want to watch this year. But,
yeah,
it's just finding the time. Watching. I've pivoted to Game of Thrones, so you know all my war shows have taken a back seat. Man, you gotta give and take here. Give and take a little bit. No, man, I gotta plow through Game of Thrones. I gotta finish Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. No, I gotta finish it. I've got like what 2.5 seasons left. Gotta go.
Wow, you're already on season 5, huh?
I'm almost to season 5.
You're just freaking going crazy on that. All right, awesome. That's awesome. Stay tuned for House of the Dragon on Story Archives later this year.
I did see the first episode of House of the Dragon, by the way, like when it first came out.
You'll go
I liked it a lot.
You'll go straight to House of the Dragon after this.
I will.
Guaranteed.
So it'll be a while. For sure. Saving Private Ryan. Yeah.
So we get the call to fall back for Biddick. He emergency lands a plane in Scotland. And then you get the last pretty much act of the episode, which is the celebrations happening. Mm-hmm. The parties, you know, we get introduced to a general's daughter, who I'm assuming will come back as a key sort of character. She's kind of like a little stone face. She didn't go really for the advances of the soldier who tried to wager a bet with his buds. And then we get this last scene, which is very important because it's starting to hit closer to home at the base here of the 100th. You get these sirens in the distance because the Germans are striking back, perceivably in the middle of the night, and it's somewhere near them. And there's kind of this realization among the troops that could be us. That could be us right now. And same way that they bombed a base earlier in the episode. And you get for the first time, really, this kind of sober moment between Bucky and Buck, even though I think Gale's character is very much sober most of the time, even if he's playing it cool.
Yeah.
And they talk about the most important thing is leading their men through this war. And now I didn't know if he meant that strategically as well in terms of switching up what they're doing and having missions at night, because they do mention that in that scene about flying at night. Yeah. I do want to see if there's any tactical changes here, if we see any stories like that in this show. But yeah. Thoughts on the last scene, and you know, where do you think things go from here? Do things just continue to escalate?
I'm honestly not sure. Like, I mean, as far as my thoughts after seeing the last scene, like, I'm excited to watch, you know, episode 3 or part 3, whatever you want to call it. I'm really not sure where it's going to go yet. Like, I still feel like it's kind of early to tell. You know, me, like, I was, I guess, speculating a little earlier, like, maybe there's some sort of, you know, storyline here where they go out on a mission and they have to crash land in enemy territory or something. And, you know, maybe we focus mm-hmm. in on, you know, Buck and, I'm sorry, Bucky and Clevin, Gale, and they're just trying to make their way back. Like, maybe that's something that ends up occurring, and, you know, that would be maybe a little different, but I almost feel like we've seen that card played already when it comes to, you know, other shows like, I don't know, Band of Brothers. And it's not that they, like, there was any, like, crash landing per se, but it's just, I mean, there's a lot of time behind, you know, enemy territory.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I think that about does it for our coverage on part 2. I do want to get into those categories, though, so let's roll it over to the category section, Zach.
Let's do it. Let's go with favorite character of the episode.
For me, it was Kurt Biddick, the pilot who had to crash land his plane in Scotland. I thought he had several great moments in this episode, from standing up to wanting to fight the British officer to punching Bucky in the face, to pretty much successfully landing that plane. And by the way, I thought he was going to crash into the side of that cliff because of some of the camera angles of how low he was coming for that emergency
That's
landing.
That's what I thought too. I thought they were like doomed. The bottom of the plane scraped the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, it bounced off pretty much the front of the cliff, which kind of seemed to work in terms of nullifying the landing. But I also liked how comedic it was. He was very much the comedic relief at the end, where he was pretty much just having a good time with the Scottish, whoever was in that house. We didn't really get a scene there, which I wish, that was the one thing that I wish in this episode they would have done, was give us a scene of those people coming out and seeing their damn farm, like their crops destroyed. Yeah. But I thought he was definitely my favorite character in this episode.
All right. I'm going with Lieutenant Crosby.
Solid choice.
Yeah, thank you. I like them. He stood out. How about favorite scene?
That was my second. That was my second choice, by the way.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite scene. I gotta say, probably the last act, like when they get back from the mission to the sirens, like celebratory mm-hmm. feel, like seeing the celebration. It was a chance to kind of get to know some of the characters a little better, get closer to the people on base. I will say there was like a random scene with Lemons, who was part of the maintenance crew on the planes. We've mm-hmm. seen barely anything about his character. Enough to get attached to him yet, but you do see he's like a gem of a soul, you know, kind of helping these kids. One of the kids has lost a hand; he has like a hook for a hand, mm-hmm. you know. So, cool character, but we haven't gotten to see a lot of other aspects of what's going on this base. I'm assuming we'll hopefully get a little more of that as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with. I mean, probably just the whole like battle segment. I did like the ending of it, where, you know, they all ended up returning and, you know, stuck with Biddick and everyone else. So I like that. I don't want to say the end of the episode where, you know, everybody's all safe at home or safe at the base at the very least. But I am liking the visuals from the battle scenes. I think that they're pretty well done, and I'm excited to see where we go with, you know, the future, you know, battles that'll come up. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Just before we go to the last thing.
Sure.
What I would love from this show is more of a Mad Men feel to the characters, where you love every single character on Mad Men, mm-hmm. even if you don't like them. you are attached to them in some way. You know, you love Don, you love Peggy, you love Roger, you love Joan. You know, you love all these characters. It's just, they can bring in a character in the same season, and eventually you get attached. You hear, you see a bit of their backstory. You learn about their motivations, you know, things like that. We've gotten zero of that about any of the characters. We don't know anything. The only thing we know about Buck is that his dad gambled when he was a kid and he had a rough childhood. That's the only thing we've learned about any of the characters so far. We don't know anything about Biddick's time in New York, his upbringing in New York. We don't know what family he has back home. The only bit we know about these characters actually is two things. Buck's dad was a gambler. And then you also had Crosby, who seems to be newly married and has some sort of relationship with Bubbles, like a good friendship with Bubbles, who was in the infirmary. So he has a wife that Crosby has a wife that he loves, and Buck had a gambling dad who kind of put him in bad spots as a kid, which is the reason he doesn't like sports, according to Bucky. But other than that, we have no idea of their motivations. We have no idea of their families back home. We don't have any sort of grounding in that. And I think because of that, if we lost a character, we wouldn't feel much because we don't know anything about them or what they're, what's getting them going. We don't know, for example, Crosby, he had an F up of a mission in the last episode, right?
Yeah.
Where he sends a plane to France instead of the UK. We got no sense of like this guy was kind of feeling it, like he really wanted to bounce back, you know, where it didn't feel like this grand feat. You had to really pay attention to kind of read between the lines on it rather than see what was going through his mind coming back from that mission, you know. But anyways, that's my only thing. I would like to feel more of an attachment to these characters in this platoon.
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, again, like there was nothing in this episode. And in the first episode, it was just, you know, the bit right before they shipped out. That was all. So
yeah, 100%.
I want to see more. You know, anytime I hear you say the name Bubbles, I constantly think of Mike Smith from Trailer Park Boys. Like that's just the one thing that pops in my head every single time.
I haven't watched Trailer Park Boys. My cousin from Georgia used to like live off that show. But yeah, isn't Bubbles the guy with like the glasses, like in the huge eyes?
Yeah, that's Bubbles.
I don't know anything about that show other than
it's raunchy, but it's funny.
Got it right there. Yeah, he told me I'd love it, but I haven't watched it. Yeah. All right. Any other categories?
Favorite line of the episode.
Probably Buck. Buck's gonna win every single episode, right? It's gonna be some one-liner. When he said, "We gotta lead our boys through this." I think that's pretty much the only thing that stands out to me in this episode. as far as like a line, I can't think of another line.
I'm sticking with my Crosby character. I'm going with his. Oh, I'm hit. Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, okay. I loved that. See, it was funny. All right.
I think Biddick had a couple good ones too, where he was with the Scottish people, and he was like, "They love me because I'm Irish" or something like that. They don't like.
They don't like the
British either.
Yeah. Something like
that. But anyway. All right. I think that about does it, right?
Them's the categories. You wanna get into the email?
Yeah. You wanna let me open that up real quick.
Sure. Go for it. In the meantime, is there any, you know, I guess predictions or expectations you have with a part three? I talked about where I've kind of hope this goes.
I can't say anything because I accidentally saw the preview. So anything anything I say would be purposeful deception at this point. So anyways, email from Otter Doll. "Hi guys, thanks for a great show. I found episode 2 to be really interesting since they're flying to bomb my hometown." Sorry to laugh. I didn't mean to chuckle at that. It was just the way you wrote it there. "The Germans built an important naval base in Trondheim during the war. In addition to the submarine bunkers, they had additional naval capabilities in the area. They also built an airport close to where I live now, so living in this part of town was really dangerous during the war because of the Allied bombing. The submarine bunkers were well built, and they still stand. Here's a link to the Wikipedia page for the bunkers." Let me check out the bunkers.
That's cool. Well, I mean, not that your city was bombed. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, yeah,
no,
some,
I mean,
some photos in this wiki link. We'll have to attach this to the show notes.
Yeah, we should put that in the show notes. Thank you for writing that in, Otter. I found that that was one of the most fascinating emails we've received. Because, I mean, we're World War II buffs, but
yeah,
we don't have, you know, any firsthand, nor do I want it, but any sort of something that hits that close to mm-hmm. home in that sense. And to hear somebody who says like, oh yeah, that happened in my hometown, that's crazy. But yeah, and again, you, the US has a giant moat around it in that sense. So
yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts on the email yourself, Zach?
I think it's interesting. We, I mean, we haven't really ever covered a show like this, like nothing that touches war on this scale. I think that the closest thing that we've covered to World War II or any world war really is actually Peaky Blinders, but the focus is yeah. really not on the war so much as it is just post-World War One yeah. life. So I mean, it is very, I guess, sobering is the word kind of I guess mm-hmm. use here when it comes to like actually hearing about the reality. And you know, like, this isn't just on screen, like this stuff actually happened. So
yeah,
it's different. Yeah, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you for writing in. Appreciate that. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you're enjoying Masters of the Air. We hope you're enjoying our podcast just as much. And we look forward to watching the rest of the season with you guys and bringing you coverage until it ends. But yeah, once again, thanks for tuning in. We just finished a series on Monarch Legacy of Monsters and For All Mankind Season 4. So if you're interested in that, check it out. I also saw a tweet from Ben Stiller today teasing Severance Season 2. Severance Season 2 is one of the most requested shows on the channel, okay? We will be doing Severance Season 2 on Story Archives. In addition, there is an interesting show coming out in February. We're not committing to it yet in terms of like episodically, but it does seem to be up our alley, Zach, and it's called Constellation. Ah. Noomi Rapace is in it. Jonathan Banks is in it. The trailer looked great. I don't know anything else about it other than that it is a mystery. But we have had a request on Spotify from a listener who has asked us to do that. Let me pull up their comment as well, because I can't recall it off the top of my head.
Fair enough. I was actually just scrolling through the upcoming list on Apple TV last night and saw at least the thumbnail for Constellation, but I haven't checked out the video yet, so I'll have to do that after we end here.
Yeah, we got just pretty much a comment here. Episode 1 was amazing. It's the start of something great. Can you please do podcasts on the upcoming Constellation with Noomi Rapace? So she's one of my favorite actresses too, by the way. So anyways, Zach, to your outro, sir.
For sure. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Spotify podcasts primarily. You can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network. Visit our website at soapbox.house. Email us at contact@soapbox.house. And we do have a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, take care.